Acts 2. So we are in our Take It Personally series. We're actually in the second to the last lesson. Next week will be the end of this series, and we'll move on to something new come the second week of October. But today will be the second to the last message in this series. So if you remember, this has been a long one. We started in the spring, and in the spring we talked about witnessing a lot. Remember that? And each week we shared stories of people that we were able to give a track to, some we were able to witness to. I'm going to do that again next week. So I want to encourage you this week, grab some tracks, be prayerful, look for somebody that you can reach out to with the gospel and invite them to be here. And I'll look forward to each of us sharing those testimonies next week. But then about halfway through, we shifted and we talked not just about personal evangelism and sharing our faith, but then we talked about discipleship. And discipleship as far as not a discipleship program or a class, but a church, being a discipleship-minded church, that we want to reach people, we want to see them grow and be grounded. So every lesson was the importance of. The importance of, somebody help me. You guys are good now. We've got this right off the bat. The importance of what was the first one? Compassion. What was another one? The importance of hospitality. The importance of, you keep saying it and then somebody else says something else. What did you say, Mrs. Ryder?
Attendance.
The importance of attendance, just being here. And then I heard Wendy say friendship. We said hospitality. Then the importance of what? Service. We took 3 weeks on the importance of service. This is the last week we're going to collect those ministry guides. So if you didn't get to fill one out, they are on the back table. Fill out one of those ministry guides. Turn it in today. Either hand it to me or pastor. Put it in the offering plate. Get that turned in. Service. And then we talked about the importance of what? Last week. Giving. That's right. We talked about the importance of giving. And a great example of what we talked about is what's going on today. It takes money, it takes resources to reach boys and girls with the gospel. And we want to steward that well. So those that give and are faithful in their giving, it accomplishes several things. And we talked about that last week. This week, here's the topic. Ready? The importance of following. The importance of following. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 again as we start. Ready? Verse number 41 of Acts chapter 2. What are we talking about today? The importance of following. Here we go. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. And that is God's plan for a growing, discipleship-oriented, Bible-believing church. Let's pray. Lord, help us as we study the Word. I pray that it would speak to our hearts this morning and encourage us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I want to talk about following for a moment. Very often, you hear a lot about leadership. Right? There's lots of things written about leadership, godly leadership, and but I'm not actually going to, well, I am going to talk about leadership today, but I want to talk about leadership from the perspective of why it's so important that there not only be godly leadership, but that there be godly followership. All right? I just made that one up. So, but that's it's important. It's vital to a local church. Many times in the New Testament, it warns that there be no schism in the body, that there's not dissension. So it's important. A lot of people think, and there was a statement by a well-known pastor, Dr. Lee Robertson, many, many years ago, and he said, everything rises and falls on, does anybody know what he said, would always say? Everything rises and falls on leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And that's all well and good, but leadership is only good if people are willing to follow. It's only any good if people are willing to follow. I was thinking about showing it to you today, but Kayla's not here. She would have been able to get me the video pretty quickly. There's a very funny video on YouTube, and you can search it. It's called The First Follower. The First Follower. And somebody, there was a, I don't know where this was. It was probably somewhere out west where people are a little crazy and loose, right? So there's this huge field of people, and they're sitting kind of on a hillside. And everybody's just out kind of like having a picnic for the day. And so all of a sudden, this really strange guy gets up in the middle of this whole crowd, and there's somebody from a distance videotaping this. Like, you know, they're going to make a thing of it. And this guy gets up, and he starts, like, dancing, like, to nothing. Just, like, doing this, you know, crazy stuff, dancing all around, and he's out there. People are, like, looking at him. You know, if you've ever seen somebody do something strange in public, all right? You know what I'm talking about? So people are sitting on their, having their picnic on their blankets, and this guy is like, he's into it. He's just like 150% committed. And he does it for a while. And super long, but he's up there. People are just looking at him like he's strange. Nothing happens. The guy keeps dancing. All of a sudden, one person, what do you think one person does? Gets up and starts doing it with him. As soon as that one person got up and did it, do you know what happened? Everybody got up and did it. There are so many lessons learned in that funny story. You should Google the video. It's pretty amusing. But the point that the people are making to show that video is the power was not so much even in the leader, though he had to have the vision and the guts to just go out there. But the power to change was not so much in the leader, but it was in the first follower. It was in the first follower. So, and it just stood out to me. So never underestimate the power of one person going against the grain, going against the crowd, and saying, ultimately, as Christians, I'm going to follow Jesus, right? The whole Christian life is actually summarized in being not a leader, but being a follower. Even those that are called to positions of leadership, our goal is not to be a leader, but to be a follower of Jesus. And so being a disciple is by nature being a follower. One thing, and I praise the Lord that we do not deal with this in our church. We do not have this problem right now. And so when I give a lesson like this, the joy of giving a lesson like this is I'm not giving this to correct anything. I'm giving this to encourage our church to carry on, to continue. And it's a tremendous blessing because there are churches all across the country that don't understand this verse I want you to turn and look at really quickly. Go to James chapter 3. There are great churches all across the land, all across the world, but there are churches that really struggle in this area of following. James chapter 3. I'm in 1 John, whoops. James chapter 3. And look with me at verse number 1 of James chapter number 3. James 3, 1. My brethren, read the next four words out loud with me. Ready? Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. What's he saying there? Be not many masters. What does he mean? It's kind of a different, you know, we wouldn't. Yeah, he says, don't say, well, you said it. That's exactly right. Not everyone say, well, I want to be the teacher. I want to be in charge. I want to be the master. He says, be not many masters, knowing that if that's what you want and that's what you get, what else comes with it? What's that? Well, in this passage, what comes with it? The word I heard somebody say was condemnation, great responsibility. Did Bill, you say something in the back? What's that? Yeah, stricter judgment. Absolutely. That there is a higher standard, that there is a higher judgment, that there is an awesome responsibility with that. Now, I'll say this, though. If God is called, there's also another possibility. People could say, oh, I sure don't want that. I sure don't want that, so I'm not going to take any leadership. That's another problem, right? Because if God calls us to do that, then we have to embrace the privilege with the responsibility, right? Amen? Yeah, absolutely. So I don't say this to discourage anyone from taking leadership in certain areas, because churches need godly leaders. But you can't be a leader, and Mrs. Bailey taught me this in kindergarten, you can't be a leader unless you first learn to be a follower. And that's what the Lord was looking for. Does anybody remember the story of the disciples that had a little argument over that? Remember James and John are walking with Jesus? Jesus is about to go to the cross. Like, he's about to die for the sins of the whole world. And James and John, like typical brothers, are having this little argument with each other. And it's escalating. What were they arguing about? Does anyone know what they were arguing about? Yeah, well, I'll be on the right side. Yeah, right, bro. I'll be on the right side. You'll be on the left if you sit anywhere. And Jesus, whenever they wanted to be in charge, was that the story where, I should have looked this one up, was that when he said, are you willing to also drink the cup that I'm going to drink of? Or he may have said that to Peter instead. But the point was, you want to, don't worry about who's in charge. Just worry about being a faithful follower. That was John. So, godly leadership, but then godly followship is what is so needed. So, and to show that this is a biblical principle, we all know, also, I'm getting ahead of myself, we all know that there is unhealthy leadership, right? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever had a boss who was had an unhealthy leadership style? Okay? And that would be putting it mildly, all right? There are probably some other choice words that you maybe thought but didn't say about your boss, because he was not a godly leader. He was not a servant leader. So there is a very ugly, unhealthy style of leadership, and it even exists in some churches. But I'm not talking about that today. Okay, that's another lesson for another time. I'm not talking about the ungodly, self-serving, wrong kind of leadership. We're just going to assume that it's not perfect leadership, but it's godly leadership. And how we follow that. Well, look at this verse really quick. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I find this to be just a great verse. People say, well, I'm not going to follow any man. Is that biblical? No, that's not biblical. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1, the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians who had troubles in their life. He writes what? Be ye, what's the word? Followers of who? Of me. It's not Jesus talking. It's Paul talking. And it's Paul saying, now elsewhere he tells, be followers of God, be imitators of God. But right here Paul says, be followers of me. Now, you talk about taking on a big responsibility. Paul, as a godly leader, was willing to take on that responsibility and say, you can be a follower of me, but only how? Only as I do what? Only as I follow Christ. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. It's a biblical principle that at times in our lives we are to follow others who do that. So what are the types of leaders that we follow? I'm not going to ask because we'd all probably say the same thing. We know that there are different levels of leadership. We think of things like leadership in a church, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, pastors. But also, husbands ought to be the kind of leaders that wives can follow as they follow Christ. And parents ought to be the kind of leaders that their children can follow. So there's all kinds of levels of leadership. But let's talk specifically about the leadership of the local church. So if you're taking notes, and I've only got about 10 minutes left this morning because of our late start, but if you're taking notes, this is what I did. I drew a line down my page. And with each point, I have it describes godly leadership, and then the other side describes what godly following would look like in that situation. So let's do a little checkup and let's talk about it for a few minutes today. Go in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5. I want you to find two passages right now. And we've got to hurry because of the time constraints. Go to 1 Peter 5 and then go, keeping a mark in 1 Peter 5, now find Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. And so these are kind of, like I said, the parallel passages from each perspective. So on the left column, I have godly leadership, 1 Peter 5. And on the right column, I have godly fellowship, Hebrews chapter 13. So, would somebody good and loud for me that has found it read Hebrews 13, 17 for me? Who wants to do that? Read that out. You got it? Good and loud so they can hear you in the back. Okay. Joy and not with grief. Amen. Obey them that have the rule over you. This is speaking in the context of a local church. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Now, we live in a different time, clearly. Can you imagine if that was the line in the church, if the leadership says, okay, here's what I want you to do this week. We're in charge. We're going to rule over you, so I want you to obey and submit, okay? Probably, in our culture today, how would people receive that? Not well. So, it wouldn't be wise for a leader to approach it that way. Yet, the truth is biblical, right? And it's there, and it's what the Bible says. So there is instruction given to those that are called to follow. But then now go, so you've got the right column there, and now go to 1 Peter 5. And now he gives the instruction to the leaders. And what you're going to see is how you can line these things up this morning. This will line up. So 1 Peter chapter number 5. Left-hand column, we're going to talk about what the godly leader does. In the right-hand column, we're going to talk about what the godly follower does in response. Everybody with me? You understand where we're headed with that? All right. So, 1 Peter 5, verse number 2. Actually, start with verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Help me out. Who is this text addressed to? Who is Peter talking to? What's the word? Just give me the word. The who? The elders. The elders. It's written to the elders. I want to teach you a point of doctrine here very quickly, and then I want to teach some practicality. So let's talk about the doctrine first. Notice this. He says, the elders which are among you. Now look at verse number 2. What's the first thing he says? Feed the flock which is among you. And then the next thing he says is what? Taking the oversight thereof. Just a point of doctrine right here, and then we're going to go into the practical elements. There are three words here. The first is elder. The second word is feed the flock, which is actually one word. It's multiple words in English, but one Greek word. So, elder, feed the flock, and taking the oversight. What are the three words? They're actually in English groups of words, but in Greek they're three words. The first one is what? Elder. Second one is? Feed the flock. Third one is? Taking the oversight. Just to clear up a lot of people's confusion, because a lot of churches, they get confused. Well, they see the word bishop, and they see the word elder, and then they see the word pastor. Well, how's it supposed to work? The word feed the flock is the Greek word pastor. It literally means shepherd. So what he says here is, elders, I want you to be a what? Which is our word what? He said, pastor. So he says, elder, I want you to be a pastor. And then when he says, taking the oversight thereof, that's the Greek word. Does anybody know how else it is? Bishop. So he says, elders, I want you to be a pastor, and I want you to be what? Bishop. So there's three different words, but it's addressed to one group of people, the elders. So that is, as you understand that in the Bible, whenever you see elder, when you see pastor, when you see bishop, in this passage here, and also a cross-reference in the book of Acts, when he speaks to the Ephesian church, he does the same thing. He addresses a group of elders, and he refers to their role as pastors, and he refers to their role as bishops. So three different titles, all comprising the same role of leadership in the local church. Make sense? Okay? Right there. And it's pretty plain as you see that. Now, so let's talk about the practical part. You got the two columns, the godly leadership, godly fellowship on the other side. First of all, the leaders of the church are called, in that word, feed the flock. First of all, godly leaders are called the shepherd with the word. So mark it down if you're taking notes. A godly leader is called to shepherd with the word. You tell me, what does that look like? If you've been in this church for years, you've had a godly shepherd, under shepherd. Christ is the great high shepherd. But you've had a godly shepherd who's fed the flock. What does feeding the flock look like? I jotted a few things down, but I'd like for you to jot a few of these things. Tell me, what's it look like? How would you describe that role of, as the pastor, as a shepherd? The leader as the shepherd. The preaching and teaching. The most important thing any pastor can do is carefully explain the Word of God to the people. Because that is where the food is. That is where the sustenance is. That is where the life is. That's why Bible preaching and teaching is so vital. So, thank you. Teaching the Word. What else is shepherding? Okay. Needs. Understanding and meeting the needs. Anything else? Shepherding. The prayer for the people. Somebody else? Let me give you a couple things to think about here. The spiritual guidance, which kind of summarizes a lot of what's been said. How about this one? The idea of a shepherd, spiritual guidance from a lot of different sources, right? You can get spiritual guidance from a pastor on television. Or somebody, how many of you like to listen to preachers on the radio or podcasts or things like that? I do. Do you get spiritual guidance from those people? Yes or no? Of course you do. Should you listen to that stuff? Of course you should. But what makes your godly leader different than him? He might not be as good of a preacher. He might not even have as big of a church. But what's the biggest difference? He knows you. He knows you. And that's the danger of people who withdraw from church and get all of their spiritual information from a pastor that lives 1,000 miles away. It's that he knows you. He prays for you. There's a personal interest, a personal care. Paul said, we were willing to give unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. That's why when a Christian starts to get in a little trouble in their life, and sometimes the role of the shepherd is also correction, right? What does a person sometimes think that they'll just do? What? That's right. You know what I'll do? I'll just go over here. This seems like a nice place with nice people. Well, yeah, because a godly pastor would call and would say, hey, what's the story here? How come they left? Because there's people that don't want to deal with their issues will say, you know what? I'll just go where people don't know me. We'll kind of just start all over again. And then what happens in their life? Replicate. Same thing happens. And by the way, we in our church would do the same thing. If somebody shows up here from another church, we would give a call and say, hey, you know what? Not to spy or anything weird like that, but to make sure this is this is right and of the Lord, because pastors are called the shepherd. So then, on the other side, as we obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for what? Your souls. As they that must give an account. So in response to the shepherding, what are we called to do as followers? Well, he's giving the word, so faithfully follow the word. Faith, as the word of God is taught, be there. Listen to it. Enjoy it. Maybe a year or two ago, I remember Mrs. Ryder sharing in a Bible study time that we had that it was her conviction that, hey, if you're not in church for some light reason or for some some minor reason you just think you'd skip, that she was sharing with us that you're still responsible for the Word of God that's taught and brought forth. Am I misquoting you? Or yeah. And that that God has provided a place for us to receive spiritual life and instruction, and when we are derelict, then we're missing out on what's important. So be faithful. If we're going to be faithful followers, we're going to be there for the preaching of the Word of God. That's why it's been so encouraging to see people come out on Wednesday night. We've had some great Wednesday night services the last couple of weeks. And Deborah and I were talking about some people that we met whose kids were in sports. And they were talking about how, yeah, we had to go to this game and that practice, and the kids were doing their homework in the car. It's like, man. People will do all kinds of things for what's important, won't they? What's important? And as followers of the Lord and followers of godly leadership, we say, you know what? I'm going to faithfully follow the teaching of the Word. How about this? I'm going to seek counsel. I'm going to seek counsel because that's the shepherd that God has given. And I'm going to heed the warnings. I'm going to heed the warnings. In response to the role of shepherd, we can faithfully follow the Word. So in the shepherd column, spiritual guidance, personal care, correction, prayer, things that have been said. And in the following column, listen, follow the word that's given, seek godly counsel, and heed the warnings that are given. Heed the warnings that are given. Now, secondly, he's called, the leaders are called to take the what? The oversight. To take the oversight. What does that mean? Well, we're about out of time, so let me give you these quickly. Taking the oversight means just running the show, so to speak. You know what I mean? Just saying, hey, this is the direction, this is the vision, and this is how we're going to organize it. Does the Bible give us a pattern of, well, you should have 3 Sunday school classes, and then you should have, you should sing this many songs, and then you should read this many missionary letters? Does the Bible give any oversight or any clear instruction on those things? Who is that responsibility given to? The leadership. Given to. So, then if we are going to obey and submit, if we're going to be, well, there's, yes, we have to be godly leaders in our place of leadership, but then in our place of fellowship, what does that mean sometimes in this area? Not so much the area of the shepherding that we already talked about, but now in just the oversight. Just the, what is it going to look like for us to obey and submit? Stay what? Yeah, but that's kind of in response to the pastor's role as the shepherd. But I'm talking now in his response to taking the oversight. What does following look like in that? Because the leadership has that responsibility. But what does it look like if you're going to follow in that, in response to that? Amen. Somebody else? Okay, let me give you a couple. It's going to involve being available for service, like Brother Jim just said. Secondly, I would say it's also going to involve laying aside personal preferences. You know what I mean by that? It's like sometimes we've just got to lay aside our personal preferences. Also, think about this one. Sometimes it's going to mean we're going to have to allow for personality differences. Everybody know what I mean by that? You know what I mean by that? That's just life. That's just life. And you know, I wouldn't do it that way. I don't like that style. That's not my thing. But if I wasn't called to lead that area, what am I responsible to do? But I don't like it. Does it violate the Word of God? Is it going to hinder souls from being reached and taught? But I don't like that color. I don't like that song. I don't like those decorations. I think we should have got the. And we, again, we don't deal with these issues. And I praise the Lord for that. But they creep in, don't they? But we just allow, if we're going to follow, sometimes we have to allow for personality differences. You know that? Every pastor, every leader of a church is totally different. We have lots of friends in ministry. Every single one of them has a little bit different style, a little bit different personality. And sadly, we live in a personality-driven culture. Don't we? We and even in ministry, pastors are lifted up because of their great personality. And yeah, we ought to work on it. okay? But they're lifted up for their great personality and their charisma and their ability to speak or their ability to relate to people. And listen, those are all things that a godly leader should strive to do. But a godly follower wants to know, is it a man of God who's faithful to the Word of God, who loves, prays, and is concerned? Amen? And we let us personality issues aside. And then also follow with enthusiasm. Everybody knows there's a difference, right? There's a big difference. I know I gotta move on. Thirdly, let me give you the last one and we'll be done. I'll give you this quickly. A godly leader also, look, if you're in 1 Peter, also in verse number 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. So thirdly, so first of all, he leads as the shepherd. He leads as by taking oversight. And now he provides an example. He provides an example. Now there's a little bit interesting distinction in the word here. The word, if you have a King James Version, is not example, but is rather what? Ensample. It's a pretty subtle difference, so I don't want to make more of it than I should, but it is interesting to note that an ensample is someone to follow from within as opposed to someone to follow from without or above. And that's the great thing about godly leadership. A godly pastor recognizes that there is no difference. There's no such thing as, well, there's pastors and deacons, and then there's regular lay people. That's not biblical. That's not biblical at all. The pastor is one of the people who's been called to responsibility, and he's called to be not an example above or without or apart from, but an example within, in the midst of. And that's something that we should be grateful for. So provide an example. He's called to follow Christ, to lead his family, to just model basic Christianity. So what is our following response? Spend time. Learn. Grow. You see, godly leadership is not, it's not for us to say, well, of course that person would do that. They're the pastor. Of course they're called to that level. No. The point is, we're supposed to say, you know what? I'm supposed to imitate, as Paul said, be therefore followers of me as I follow Christ. Now, what that means is that you ought to really, 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 really pray for leadership. Because that's a huge responsibility that's been given. And as Satan attacks that, he can undermine an entire flock. And what is the ultimate goal of all of this following? Well, look at verse number 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What is the leading and the following all purpose? What is the purpose of it all? It's to bring us to eternity. It's to bring us all, leader and followers alike, to come to that place where we stand before the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. That, as Hebrews 13 says, that obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. So be the first follower and watch others as they come along as well. So, the importance of following. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Lord, we love you and we thank you for the way that you, Father, have led this church all these years. And we just help us all to endeavor to follow you, to be faithful, to love you and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. We're dismissed until our service starts.